Welcome to the Aura Personalities Podcast. Listen in as empath and author Stacey Sadler dives into the different Aura personalities of her guests. Learn how we each uniquely operate in relationships, careers, learning styles, parenting, and spirituality based on the layers of light that surround us. Thank you for your loving, honoring presence today.
Okay, this is Stacey Sadler on the Aura Personalities Podcast, and today's consultation is with a woman who has crystal and indigo as her main layers, and then green amber, magenta, blue amber, and violet. She would like to talk today about accepting and embracing herself and her Aura personality, how to do that, but that it also makes her feel, so it makes her feel more free, but also more anxiety riddled at the same time. So, hi, Toby.
Hi.
I don't feel like I said that quite right. Do you want to kind of explain? What's fun about this call is the ones I've done already, people have known longer, their layers. And so you've had, it's been what, probably maybe 2 months? And she found out?
Yeah, something like that.
Okay. So kind of tell me what your transition has been like.
Well, I had trouble writing the question because I was trying to narrow it down into a little thing, and I thought, well, I guess this is kind of like a generic thought pattern I had. As I dive more into the book and really, like, try to absorb, you know, what these things are, I see myself so much in some of it. It just, like, it's blaring, you know, it's like, and that's the freeing part, I guess. And then, on some of it, I guess, because of who I am and how I function in the world, it brings anxiety up because I think, well, that is how I function. And then, you know, how is that accepted, or how does that work? And
So this is how I function, but that's a really hard thing to deal with, or it's a really, you know. And do you feel like it's hard because you recognize? So you already, do you feel like you already know these things about yourself and just hadn't necessarily acknowledged them?
I think a lot of it is that way, and I think a lot of it has to do with just having a landing place, you know, having something that validates, yep, that is the way you are. And for me, that's exciting on one hand. And then, you know, I want to, you know, shout it from the rooftops, you know, because I'm like, see, this is me, you know, and not getting the understanding from those around me. Drives the anxiety up. I found, and this is something I was contemplating this morning as I was trying to figure out, you know, how I would kind of capsulize this, because I know the time is limited, but like on the webinar you did the other day, you talked about not being task-oriented, and I just leaped out of my skin with that. I was like, oh, my gosh, I am not task-oriented. I have always been a busy person. Mm-hmm. You know, I get going on stuff, but a lot of times I'm not moving. I'm just busy in my head.
Right.
And or I get lost in a drawer. You know, I'll get putting stuff away, and I, you know, I'll get lost in the drawer, and I just, oh, I need to do this, and I can't, I flit around like a butterfly. I've never had the same job for a very long time. I've done everything under the sun, but I think for me, when I look at the crystal part of me and the indigo part of me, it fits that way because I go in, I learn what I need to learn, and then I move on, or I help who I need to help, and then I move on. And so that makes sense to me. as opposed to being labeled, you know, oh, you can't keep a job. Well, it isn't that. I get tired of it quickly, or, you know, I move. I don't know, I fulfill whatever it is I need to fulfill, and then I'm done.
That's really beautiful. Did you realize you were doing that? Have you kind of always known that?
Well, I did, but I didn't have the validation that that was okay to be that way. And when I was reading through, it was interesting because I kind of got hung up in lavender, which isn't part of my layers. But when I looked at lavender, and I thought, oh my gosh, I bet that was part of that shift at one point for me, because I'm not completely in the lavender field, but there's so much of it there where I land and then I move on. I've always been a gypsy, and so I could see that, and I thought, I wonder if it's part of that shift. And so, of course, that's where my mind went, because my mind goes everywhere all the time.
Yeah.
And I love my own little world, because everybody knows me there. I'm comfortable in it. But when I was working outside with my husband that day, when you said that about not being task-oriented, and I went out there to him and I said, I know what it is now. You are task oriented. I am not.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, I get things done. I get, you know, I have a to-do thing, or I want to complete something, whatever. But it was very validating to me to be able to go out there and understand why he can roll out of bed, jump in the shower, and jump into whatever he has planned on doing, you know.
Yeah.
And I have the hardest time doing that. And I think, why? You know, why do I have a hard time doing it? It's because I'm in my head. I'm not, I know what I need to do, but it's not, I don't know, other things take priority, if that makes sense.
Yeah. Well, for sure it does. And I love that you're, well, recognizing some of these truths about yourself and that they've always been there. Something that you brought up, so this transition with learning about yourself and saying, you know, having all these light bulbs go on of, oh my goodness, that is how I do things. And, well, that's why, you know, kind of finding validation for how you already operate. And then it's a really interesting thing to then say to the people around you, see, you know, this is how I am, or look, this is what I'm doing. And realizing that the people around you, if they're not involved in this at all, that can be a hard transition for you and them, because they're hearing, I don't know, they're basically kind of like hearing, they're not going to be able to experience it that same way. I've had like the rare experience where somebody, you know, sits down and like goes through the chapters with, you know, which I recommend, you know, for people to do with their spouses or with their kids, if, you know, if they're open to that. But unless people find out their aura personalities together, then you kind of feel like you're having this awakening by yourself.
Totally.
Yeah, and so that's hard.
I wouldn't have them done.
I know your husband's really supportive of you, and but you probably, there, it probably is feeling a little bit like a separation of, you know, because he's not involved in it with you yet. So, yeah. So I'm sorry. That's probably a little bit hard. Especially for a crystal, because crystals are, you know, I think on some levels we're seeking validation all the time. So, because we always...
That's an interesting thing to me, because I realized how I had done that my whole life, but yet proclaiming that I don't care what anyone thinks.
Yeah, of course.
And that, in my mind, that was that indigo just glaring,
like a foghorn.
You know, I don't care what you think, you know, too bad, so sad, whatever. But when I look back, I was trying to, you know, like look at my life and how I how I moved in it as a child, and then as a teenager, and then, you know, a young adult, and all this. And, you know, I see how events and traumas and things like that actually force you to shift into different layers.
Oh, I that's interesting, that, yeah.
Yeah, it's like my dad died when I was 11, and that was a huge shift for me. And I had lost my grandpa, my grandma, and my dad all within a year and a half.
Oh, wow.
So I was kind of blown out of the water with it. And that was when the sweet kind of free-spirited indigo kid that was just, you know, just all over and a happy kid switched off and became... I don't know if this sounds right to you, but
that's what a crystal is. A sweet is sweet free kit, happy.
Yeah,
kit.
And that's,
yeah, that's crystal.
But I also saw the indigo piece because I'm adopted, so I had all a lot of you know, pre-verbal stuff coming with me, as far as that went. But the indigo just rose up. And the term that came in my mind was indigo walls. And they just push out big and large and just shutting people out all over the place and not just running right over the top of them. I didn't care anymore because it wasn't anything to care about as I was trying to process all that stuff because it was too painful.
Yeah.
And,
I like that,
and
indigo
yet,
walls, that's really actually fitting, and indigos do that. You know, they definitely put up energetic walls, and they're pretty good at it. And a lot of it has to do with that trust, so being able to trust, and then when your whole world, when these people left, even for an 11-year-old, you know, that's what it felt like, they left. You know, and that's a bigger question of like, well, where did they go and why did they leave me? Yeah. So that makes a lot of sense.
Because I wasn't a member of the church at the time, so I didn't have, I believed in God and I was a Christian and I understood that my dad and everybody would to live with God. And I knew that. And I knew he was watching over me, but I didn't have the solidity of knowing I would be with him again. And
yeah.
I think that left me in a pretty vulnerable state. Although I was kind of solid in that knowledge, even though I didn't have it given to me, which was kind of weird until it was. And so I think for me, that was, knowledge has always been, you know, always seeking knowledge, you know, wanting to know stuff.
Yeah.
On my own terms, but,
yeah, but wanting all the information. And that's, I mean, that's what's hard with a death is because, you know, with indigo, it's like they want all the information and they want to be able to ask and have, you know, just really have a fullness of the knowledge and you couldn't. And so I'm sure just in so many ways that was huge, like a huge transition for you. Okay. Well, so since you've learned this, you kind of feel like it's been bringing up both, you know, it's been a good thing and then a hard thing. And is there any, like, anything else that you want to ask or, you know, explore?
Oh, my gosh. I have, like, a million things. but I keep looking at the clock and thinking, oh, the clock.
Oh, don't worry. Yeah, don't worry about it. We'll cover what we need to, I'm sure. The important things will get covered.
I was trying to write some stuff down before.
I mean, even just knowing that you're crystal alone, like, that's such a big, that's such a big one to find out because it's such a vulnerable personality. And so I think something always that I'm interested in is that it's how much you allow yourself to be in that crystal, especially when you have strong outer colors, and you do, got some strong, magenta, blue, amber, and violet in particular, and then your indigo especially because it's so close in there. But I just wondered, do you feel like you're comfortable being in your crystal, or is it one that you find that you leave? And, what are your thoughts about that? Like, do you feel like, as you've learned about it, you're like, yes, I do live a lot in my crystal, or I have to be in a really safe place to let myself go into that energy?
I feel like I protect the crystal.
Okay.
Because my vulnerability, being vulnerable was never something I felt good at, because I hated it because I always got hurt. And so my trust level for people in the world is almost zero, because everybody lies. That's kind of how I feel. But and they're two-faced. And that's really a hard thing for me because I don't like to be around plastic people, and I don't like non-authentic.
Okay, so all of that is indigo. So all of that is indigo. So that's what I was wondering. It's like, I wonder if your indigo is like really developed, and the crystal, like how much the crystal is allowed. So that might be part of what's going on for you right now, is recognizing, you know, understanding these parts of yourself in the crystal and realizing that you live a lot in indigo, which is almost across the board what I find with people, that they live in their secondary, or even one of their third or fourth layers. So that's what I wondered. I felt, when I talked to you the first time, I felt your crystal really strongly. Like I could feel it just like, almost like it was just like, name me, you know, I don't know how to explain that, but there was a lot of that. And it might be partially because we're recording this for you, because for an indigo, that's the thing. It's like indigos, everything is about like motive and where is this coming from and what's this used for. You know, your mind like just puts, it puts out a sonar, like it puts out like this reading of like, is this safe? What are your intentions? Is this authentic? And I get this, right? Because this is my second layer too. Because we have the first two same layers. And so I relate a lot. What I'm excited for you is to see if you can let yourself like dip into that crystal more. And I feel like some of the life changes that you've made just in the last, just since we talked last time, you've kind of made some big ones. And I wonder, like, as you create or allow yourself to be more in environments that feel just more safe or loving or less traumatic-based, you know, not necessarily even your trauma, but, you know, less trauma, less, I don't know if that's the right word, but, you know, less high, kind of high alert.
Right.
So any situations where you're in high alert, you're really automatically going to go into your indigo and, you know, sleep, but never really sleep because... because you're always on high alert when you're in indigo. And so I think what I am looking for you is for you to keep creating an environment that just feels loving and supportive of you and kind of allowing yourself to kind of let go of those things that just feel, environments or even things that you're accountable for, responsible to, not necessarily letting go of responsibilities, but just choosing to engage where it actually feels good to your soul and comfortable and allows you to hold on to that sense of safety and peace around you. I just feel like as you do those kinds of things, like what's going to happen is crystals need space, like they need room to, because it's a different kind of energy sending out that you do when you're in crystal versus in indigo. Indigo, it's trust, authenticity, motive, safety, you know, just ever watchful and vigilant. And all of that's fine. But when it's not your first, that's really exhausting. So what I hope that you'll start to allow yourself to do is to think, you know, crystals are, they are light and playful and genuine and in the moment and want to just have an experience with people and things and or by themselves, like where it's just like very childlike in a lot of ways. And they're very sensitive, but it's a pretty positive energy, and pretty trusting and pretty happy energy. And but it's all in it, you know, it's a spiritual color, so meaning you live in the present. They live in the present. So a lot of it looks like not scheduled or just being able to be right where you are and being able to relax there. And so then if people come into that space, they're coming into that space with you, and they're getting to experience that kind of a space. And I think it's just going to be a really interesting transition, like creating that for yourself and allowing it. And I don't know how you feel about your home space, like even, you know, picturing going out and working in the yard or gardening. Like, I don't know where you have that, like where you already do that, but usually crystals have done a pretty good job of that with their home, somewhere in their home where they have a place where they feel good. It can even be like in their bedroom. It doesn't matter where, but it's like finding that space. And then to me, letting that expand in your home environment or having a place or places where you go, where you feel that, because basically what I feel like would be really helpful for you is kind of taking baby steps into that and kind of like turning down the volume on your indigo watchfulness, so that it's almost like maybe even that wall you talked about, like seeing if that could kind of just relax a little bit, or you kind of make a mental note of telling yourself like, okay, right now for the next hour, I'm in this space and I'm safe here, so I'm going to relax that volume on that indigo, basically, and realize that you are really developed in the indigo. Your gifts there, you know, all those intuitive gifts that indigos have, and you know, they have the gift of wisdom and they have the gift of discernment, and all of those gifts are good, but you can just assume those are super developed, and I want to let some of my crystal really start to come out and develop, and almost telling your indigo, like, you don't have to protect that, like, it needs to be able to come out. And that's what I notice happening with indigo, even in myself, obviously, too, because we're dealing with that same dynamic, is I basically just have to kind of tell myself to kind of just relax and be present. And I know you know this feeling. When you're in that crystal space, it just feels light and vulnerable. And a lot of times, even almost like on the verge, it's like on the verge of like silliness or like on the verge of like tears. But then also a lot of times just in a really kind of like, not a blank space, but just like this open receptive state as the vessel. And I know you know this, and I know you provide this for people all the time, but you want to see if you can allow yourself to experience it like that and just give yourself some, I feel like some repeated, you know, daily experiences where you're just letting yourself be with that crystal part of you.
That sounds awesome. I have been trying to create that, because it's funny when you were doing your videos, you were in your bed. That's where I stay a lot.
Okay.
Whether I'm sitting in here working or whatever, uh-huh. It's my spot.
Okay, and, so you got your space. Good.
But unfortunately, it doesn't look or appear like I need it to because it's the catch-all for everything under the sun. So I'm in the process of mucking it out, if you will, and trying to get rid of the clutter because I have this urgency inside of me that I need to downsize.
Okay.
I need to get rid of all the stuff that I don't use, I don't need, I don't want, whatever. And but I'm like, it's funny because I feel like I'm emotionally attached to so much stuff, or
yeah.
Everything has a soul, you know. And
yeah.
I'm always, you know, I feel bad giving away things or something.
Yeah, because you can feel the energy of them. That's a real, real thing for us. So yeah.
And so
just so you know, though, in your bedroom space, my guess is have you come across feng shui principles at all?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So right, the bedroom, like, you want to be really, especially if it's like a sacred space for you, really mindful of that. But also, just so you know, so you're magenta. And I've wondered if your magenta is close in, you know, if it's second or if it's third or fourth in. But magentas are, that's a trait that they can have, is to just collect because because of that practical part that finds use for things. And those things are so useful, they become a thing. Like they become very meaningful. And so just kind of know that that's okay, that you do feel, you're going to feel different about things than I do because of that magenta. Objects are going to have more value to you, or more, you know, you see everything's use. And so so just kind of know that that's part of your personality too, and that's something, that's a good thing because you're seeing value in everything. But then it is harder to let go. But recognizing, somebody said the other day to me, everything is asking something of you, and how much energy do you want to be giving to those things? And so everything in your space, how much energy do you want to be giving to those things? Because for me, what I'm sitting where I am and I'm looking at a painting, and that painting actually gets a lot of energy for me because it's big and it's got a lot going on it. And so it actually gets a lot for me. So I need to be really clear. Do I want to be giving that much energy to that painting? And the thing is with us, with the crystal, everything in our space is like that for us. We don't miss anything in our space because of the energy of it. And so you want to be really, really clear. Like, do I want to be giving this thing energy? And even if you move it somewhere else in your house, that's the thing with us, is it will still get something from us. So you really want to be mindful of what stays and what goes. And if there's anything in your space in particular, and this goes for, you know, all of us who are really sensitive to energy, anything in your space that has anything negative associated with it that it doesn't serve and we just need to recycle or let it go or get rid of, it's really important for us to do that because it's taking from us. And see, that's why even for us going into other spaces or being around other people's things or being around, you know, in another building or somewhere where there's a lot, you know, everything is asking a lot of us. And so we want to be really selective of what we give our attention to and our focus on and how long we spend in places that don't serve or, you know, for crystals, I feel like we can be really selective about where we go. We need to, and it's okay. It's okay to do that. I used to really pride myself on that I can, you know, I can go anywhere. I'm accepting of everybody, anything. And then I realized, like, it isn't like that for me. It's not worth, the trade-off isn't worth it. I serve better when I'm really careful about my environment. So you know, and there's still lots of places I go. I don't totally cut myself off from the world, but I'm just really aware of, like, you're choosing this, Stacey. Like, how much of yourself do you want to be giving to this? And wouldn't it be better if you just showed up in places where you can really, you know, feel the peace that you need so that you can feel like a conduit and a vessel, and that, and then show up for people in that, because that's needed from you. So,
well,
and sometimes
you say that because I said it's interesting that you say that, because in the last month my husband was gone for about 3 weeks farming back east, and so I was left to handle my kids by myself and kind of navigate everything. And I still had one more day up at the reservation and stuff. So there's a lot of stress, but I had people in place to help with things I can't do, like get up really early and take them to seminary and that kind of thing. I can't do
okay,
that.
Okay, cool, yeah.
I tried it once, it is, and I said, no, I can't. They just won't go if it's up to me. Not that I don't want them to have it. I see the value in it. I just, I can't, physically can't.
Yeah, you know your limits, yeah.
And then I have a friend who was taking them to school because, again, that's another early thing. Yeah. And that also left me in their school for the day. And my husband does that, and I used to do that. I cannot do that anymore. I can't be in that place with all those people. So I had that in place, and that helped me so I could stay home and do what I needed to do for me until it was time to go pick them up or whatever. And then I could go do that. And sometimes I couldn't, and I'd have her go do it. And it all worked out really well that way. But I was releasing a whole lot of rain as far as, you know, not having the hawk at the school kind of thing going on that I have been. And so there was a lot of anxiety with that, of releasing that, and, you know, what was going to happen and how was it going to go, and, you know, all those kind of things. But I was able to try to, I was trying to honor myself in the fact that this is how I function better when I take that time for me. And I, whether I do anything productive in that time that looks like productive to anybody else doesn't matter.
No.
It's just taking, not being in that space that's not comfortable for me. And the other thing that came up when I was going through that in my mind, because I was trying to, you know, imagine our conversation and, you know, what would be important for me to talk about, when you brought that up, I'm like, my gosh, I have been doing that and trying to, you know, debunk my room of all this junk. And I have moved out some negative things that I obviously could tell were negative, other things not so easily yet. Tiny backstory on that. When my kids, when they're home, I have a hard time coming in my room and working because things happen if I go around the corner, if that makes sense to you.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, I could do the laundry and I'd put the laundry away and put it in their room and they could put it in their drawers. I take mine in and I dump it off. I would never get a chance to put it away because if I took the time, something would go wrong. You know, they get in a fight or something get broke, whatever. Somebody be with somewhere they weren't supposed to be. And so my room became kind of a dump station, and that drove me crazy, and it still drives me crazy. But I'm now working at getting it all put back together and cleaned out the way I wanted. And I use a lot of rocks, stones, gems. I love them. I like to wear them. And what was interesting is that I had kind of quit wearing a lot of them because the energy became too heavy. I needed to clear them, and I just didn't take the time to do it. Mm-hmm. And the other day, the other night, I was sitting there with my husband, and we'd been working, and I'd been cleaning out a bunch of stuff in my room. And all of a sudden, I heard this crash, and I knew what had happened. And he says, was that outside? I said, no, that was in my closet. My jewelry fell off the wall again. And the heaviness of the energy, it just pulled the entire thing, the whole rack and everything, off the wall. And so, I you know, been clearing it, a lot of it. But the interesting thing that had happened is, as I have shifted to trying to be more in the crystal piece of me, which when you describe that, that was, to me, that's almost Peter Pan-like. That's how I felt growing up, was I was just like a happy little sprite in wherever I was, and I just moved around. I was moody.
Well, we're affected. Yeah, you're affected by everything, so it does look like moody. Yeah.
And so, I always said, you know, I'll never grow up. And, you know, that was my statement until I was 30 and told I was an adult for the first time in my life. And I didn't realize that I'd never used that word with myself. And it was devastating. But my son just told me the other day, I would never marry someone like you. I said, why is that? And he said, because you're no fun. And I said, because you don't know me. You don't know me. I said, you know who I've had to become to be your parent, but you don't know me. And I said, you know, when I'm around other people, I make them laugh. I'm funny. I enjoy life. I said, but you have made me become a drill sergeant, you know, because of your behavior. So that's why you see what you see. But, you know, we have our moments where we laugh and stuff, but it's much farther in between than I would
like
to be.
Well, you have access to get there where you live there more of the time, regardless of what's happening around you or what people are, you know, other people's behavior. It's going to be you getting comfortable going into that crystal. And I just kind of really recommend, doing that first in your, you know, your sacred spaces or places where you feel really comfortable doing it. And then almost to see, like, your crystal, see it as something that you're expanding out. And so, you know, basically testing, like, I'm going to try to let myself be in my crystal in more places. So I'm going to try it out with this person that feels safe, or I'm going to try it out in this area that feels safe. And just over time, as you get more comfortable with it, it will be less about whether or not somebody else is, you know, you'll feel less like somebody else has any say over that. You get to just choose when you bring that out. And your goal, my goal for people is to really let their first layer expand. So just kind of see it that way. You as an double energy person, both of your layers being in the spiritual family, like, it's, you are really powerful that way. Like, you can expand out energy. But the crystal, it's almost seems counterintuitive that, you know, it's really seems like we're just supposed to protect and draw in, but just realize, like, at the crystal, it's really important for you to let it, kind of almost like an exhale, letting yourself just, like, let that crystal be, you know, let the vulnerability, the spontaneity, the, you know, everything that a crystal is, the openness to others, like, all of that, you're going to be practicing letting that be. And just you get to, you know, your indigo will know really well how to, like, control that. But what you're going to want to do is kind of let the indigo kind of release control over that crystal, and let the crystal just start to be the one that makes decisions and does things that feel authentic to your crystal part. So, well, we need to wind this up. Hopefully this gives you some good thought about, you know, letting that be, becoming more comfortable with it, or letting that be. And it really is always like the person becoming comfortable with it. It's not about, it feels like other people don't allow, but it's going to be you saying, I'm okay with this. I'm going to let this be. So see if you can kind of let yourself, I don't know, I feel like just try it on in places that feel safe. And then over time, just try it with more, you know, just expand it out, try it in more settings, and you getting really comfortable with it is going to make really all the difference, I think. So, okay. So
I'm excited for it too.
And it's interesting for me, just the difference of the two calls. I'm like, wow, I really felt her crystal on the first call, like, so loud. And then this call, I felt the indigo so loud. So I'm like, that's a really interesting thing. And I do the same thing. Like, I kind of bounce between those two a lot. And so just kind of know that's normal and that's fine. And the first call, there was probably a safety in it, knowing it wasn't being recorded, and this one is. And so I know that changes things. That would change a lot for me, too. It totally would. So I get that. Yeah, but thanks for, I think it's perfect, though, you know, because it helped us, like, talk through this, and I think this is going to be a big piece for you. I mean, it's something I'm always working on. So, you know, I'm like, oh, I'm in my indigo, and I need to let my crystal step forward. Okay, well, let's wind up, and thank you so much for your time, and let's just be in touch for sure.
Thank you so much. I look forward to doing this more because I want to learn more and experience all of that growth. And I do need the validation that someone else that I know understands it will recognize it in me. And so I appreciate that in you so much. And
You're welcome. It's always nice for me too. Anytime I talk to another crystal, it's really validating for me. It feels really good, and it feels like, oh, you know exactly what this is like, and it's really helpful. Thanks, too. I love it. Okay, well, have a really great day, and we'll be in touch.
All right, you too. Thank you so much.
Okay, take care, Trevor. Bye. All right.
You too. Bye-bye.
This is Stacey Sadler. Thank you for joining me on the Aura Personality Podcast. We'll see you again.
To discover the layers of light that surround you, listen in to the Aura Personalities and Diving Into Aura Personalities podcasts. Get Stacey Sadler's book, Aura Personalities, and schedule a consultation via the www.aurapersonalities.com website and join the private Facebook group for in-depth discussions with others called Aura Personalities.